You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
This week I spoke to our European correspondent, Cameron Adams, about the war in Ukraine, UK's Prime Minister Liz Truss, as well as Swiss chocolate bunnies. Here he is now.
Can you give us an update on the war in Ukraine?
Yeah, up to 30% of Ukraine's power stations have been destroyed in the past 8 days, according to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Ukrainians are being urged to not use electrical appliances in peak times, in mornings and evenings, to save electricity. As Ukrainian presidential aide Kirilo Tymoshenko warns, quote, the entire population needs to prepare for a tough winter. Russia continues to attack civilian infrastructure across Ukraine following the recent promotion of Russian Army General Sergei Sorovikin. Just before the Crimean Bridge attack, Sorovikin, nicknamed General Armageddon, was appointed commander of all Russian forces inside Ukraine. Sorovikin was a commander for Russian forces fighting in Syria, and under his leadership saw the brutal bombing of Aleppo and Ghouta. Human Rights Watch in 2020 report has listed him as potentially having responsibility for targeting civilians in northern Syria. And the EU has delivered to Ukraine 2 billion euros of aid out of a larger package of 5 billion. Ukraine had previously criticized the EU for failing to front up with aid it had promised earlier in May.
Leaders around Europe met earlier this month to launch the European political community. What is it and why has it come about?
Yeah, leaders from Iceland to Azerbaijan met in Prague on the 6th of October under the newly formed group, the European Political Community. So French President Emmanuel Macron proposed the idea in May while holding the rotating EU Council presidency. The idea of having a larger non-binding collective of European leaders has been around for some time. Given the war in Ukraine and its effects on the continent, there was the desire between European countries to come together for talks on this issue. The quoted aims of the EPC are to, quote, foster political dialogue and cooperation to address the issues of the common interest, and, quote, strengthen the security, stability and prosperity of the European continent. So while there are different political groups within Europe, like the EU or the OSCE, which still includes Russia, or NATO, which also includes North America, there was no centralized place for only European countries to meet and discuss on these topics. It contained 44 countries, including the 27 EU member states, the recently left the UK, all of the Balkans, as well as countries further east, including Turkey, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia. Russia and Belarus were specifically not invited. It's by far not a meeting of liberal democracies or even allied countries. However, the main topics to discuss were peace and security and the energy crisis.
What was the outcome of this launch of the European political community?
Yeah, surprisingly, there were a couple of good outcomes from the summit. Going into the meeting, there was a lot of speculation it might all be hot air. So the first positive outcome was an agreement between Azerbaijan and Armenia to cooperate with an EU mission to help delineate their shared border. Since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the two countries have had several conflicts over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. In 2020, there was a war which left thousands dead and led to a Russian peacekeeping mission. Even right before the summit in August and September, there were flare-ups again in fighting, which left over 200 dead. This is linked to a perceived weakness in Russia's ability to maintain peace. So it's a pretty significant diplomatic win for Macron and the EPC, given Russia's prior influence in the region. The mission is due to start this month and last for a maximum of 2 months, with the goal to delineate the border. And the second positive outcome was a thawing of relations between the UK and the EU. It was a gamble whether the new Prime Minister Liz Truss would actually go, especially given her previous statements about Macron and the UK's continual disagreements with the EU over Brexit. However, on the day, Truss had declared in an op-ed that, quote, it's right we find common cause with our European friends and allies. And she had also agreed to renew a UK-France summit next year. So the next summit for the European political community is due to be held in spring next year in Moldova.
On the subject of Liz Truss and the politics going on in the UK, the Prime Minister has obviously been receiving quite a lot of heat at the moment. Do you think she'll still be Prime Minister by the end of the year?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't think so. I mean, I know it's been covered before on The Wire, but yeah, I think not. You know, Kwasi Kwarteng was sacked on Friday, the second shortest term for a chancellor in British history. The shortest was Ian McCloyd, who died from a heart attack. Jeremy Hunt, Kwarteng's replacement, tears apart her budget on Monday, which calms markets but still leaves a £38 billion £38 billion hole in the budget, and he's not ruling out a return to austerity. You know, Liz Truss campaigned on making unpopular decisions and pushing Trussonomics, and with that gone, what does she have? There was an interview late last night on the BBC with Liz Truss apologising for going, quote, too far, too fast. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how she goes tomorrow in the Prime Minister's questions, and the Office of Budget Responsibility have their report out at the end of the month. Liz Truss has an approval rating lower than Prince Andrew, according to YouGov, but I don't think... But I think the Tories know that if they roll her, there'll probably be a general election that she will lose. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. But, yeah, if she does get rolled, we can do a chronology and cover what will happen next.
Last matter, a Swiss court has ordered the destruction of some chocolate bunnies. Why did they do this, and was this unlawful?
No, it was totally lawful. So, yeah, Switzerland's highest court has ruled against German discount retailer Lidl's production of its chocolate bunnies. So the Swiss chocolate manufacturer Lindt claimed the bunnies were being copied and in need of protection, which the Swiss court agreed, overturning a previous judgment last year. So the court has ruled Lidl to immediately stop selling any further units and its destruction of its remaining stock. The chocolate bunnies might not totally be destroyed, however, and instead could be melted down to make something else.
That was Eurovision with our European correspondent Cameron Adams. And to the Swiss court that is destroying all those bunnies, please feel free to send them to me.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.